everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben, Rob, and Seth. Well, we've been noticing a strange pattern of celebrity deaths over the last several years. Politicians like Jackie Walorski, actors like Anne Heche and Isaac Cappy, musicians like Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, and Avicii, plus Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, and others. Then more recently, Alec Baldwin accidentally shot Helena Hutchins on the set of Rust. Are all of these just tragic accidents, or have there been strange circumstances that leave us with questions?
Well, that's what we're going to get into tonight. If this is your first time watching Friday Night Live, aka FNL, welcome. So the three of us, we're researchers who dig into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on. And we bring that info to you and somehow manage to keep smiles on our faces. Because folks, you got to lighten the mood somehow when you're talking about things like celebrity deaths and human trafficking, right? And that's not all we've been talking about tonight. So on Rise TV, we're going to have an exclusive Dig Deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly and where we always get into spiritual, metaphysical, and deep discussions that really make us think. We always hear how much everyone likes that part of the show, and we love it.
And don't forget about our top 10 weirder news segment where we go over the craziest headlines of the week. You won't want to miss tonight's list with topics like an armless stabbing, near-death experiences, and a four-legged snake, plus so much more. Yeah, we'll get there. And if you'd like to be a part of our Dig Deep Q&A and weirder news tonight, and if you would love to support what we do, please consider subscribing to Rise.tv. For just $9.99 a month, we bring you live shows from Man in America, exclusive series from Edge of Wonder, shows from other content creators like Chronicles of a Psychic Spy, plus comedy, movies, and more. Can't wait to see you there in our Rise TV live chats. But for now, let's get into the big question of the night. What really happened with Alec Baldwin? Anne Heche, Anthony Bourdain, Chris Cornell, and everybody else who just died
off the face of the earth.
Yeah, so let's jump into tonight's live.
Sometimes our graphics spaz too, you know?
Or Lindsay's hand.
All right.
So guys, how you doing? I guess, you know, we now start our live, our FNLs.
Let's see it.
I know. That's what I was getting into. We start with our lessons learned from the past week. And as you can see,
you got it fixed.
I've got all my teeth back. So my kind of experience and lesson learned this week is and this is actually a real lesson. Don't leave heavy objects like a power drill on top of an 8-foot ladder, because you might forget that it's up there and then move that ladder and those things can fall on you. So it's a really legitimate lesson. It's like the lesson I learned about not building a chicken coop in Birkenstocks when I broke three of my toes by dropping a piece of plywood on them. And I still don't have a thumbnail that looks normal toenail from that. So anyway, the lesson that I have is be careful when you're doing home projects, because prepping is, and you're doing all these kinds of projects. But also dentists can do some pretty magical work. So I literally in one day I had a root canal, they put in a post, they did all this stuff, and this is a temporary tooth they put in there. But it's pretty amazing. Not cheap though. It was about a $3,000 tooth, which is not a fun expense to come out. So, and I work, I'm crazy. Self-employed, so I don't have dentist insurance. So yeah, that kind of sucked.
Rough, man.
You know, we got free eggs kinda from chicken coops. So I guess maybe after about 4 or 5 years, maybe it'll balance itself out. But that was my lesson from the week.
It's a good lesson. Good lesson. I think for myself, I think my biggest lesson of the week, if we're talking about lessons, is don't wait for other people when there's something that you can do yourself. I'm in a new house here, and I've been waiting for painters for a really long time until finally this week I got fed up and I just started doing it. And I just started knocking out rooms left and right. Been painting like crazy, paint all over my body. I've been having to wash paint off myself in the shower. It's been crazy, making a mess, but it's getting done. So that's my lesson. What about you, Ben?
Well, actually, I was more thinking we're kind of doing like personal highlights, like interesting things that happened to
Please
us
do.
This week. But actually, so we're today at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we have our next episode from Edge of Wonder all about the
big oil
industrial complex with the rise of the Rockefellers, really. But so I was like watching it the other day, just kind of making sure everything's good and stuff. And so I was just at this restaurant watching it, and I wasn't really planning to watch it, so I didn't bring my headphones or anything. And no, it was like late at night. There was like nobody there. Everything was empty. So I'm just listening and watching it. And this like dude comes over and just like sits down right next to the table from me. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, this is so weird. There's like million, like everything's open. And he just like sits down next to me, you know? So I kind of turned it down a little bit, cause I was just like, okay. And you know, I had the volume up pretty high and I was like, I don't want to kind of bother this dude. And I was like, I don't have headphones. So I'm just listening to it. And it's like, you know, going on of like Rob and I talking about the Rockefellers and everything else. And he just kind of turns around to me and he's just like, dude, what are you listening to? That's really fascinating. And he's like, is this all about like oil and what's happening with the oil industry and like stock markets and stuff? And I was just like, well, yeah. So then he like sits down like right next to me. And then we start talking about all this. And I was like, well, actually, it's me. So, you know, it was like, this is a show that we have and it's not out yet. So anyway, it was just crazy. We had like literally like a half hour conversation about like all this stuff. He was super fascinated into it. So, you know, and I just kind of moved too, and I have a house now, and actually these guys been mowing my yard and they haven't really been doing a very good job of it. And so I was like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, actually I have a lawn service company. I was like, that's crazy, dude. I was just thinking like, I need to hire somebody new because I don't have any like lawn equipment or anything. So I had to have like some kind of service, but these guys, they haven't really been doing a very good job. So I was like, I'll definitely hire you.
Everybody wins.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just kind of cool. So he was like, man, I want to like watch your show and see what you guys are doing and everything. So I was like, it's pretty funny. So anyway.
I love that. It's like, cool stuff. Yeah, even when you're out just chilling somewhere, you're still red pilling people.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, fun stuff. All right. So let's get into all this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of right. Some crazy stories emerging. And I know that you guys have covered this quite extensively for a long time, but I mean, there's, you know, most of the viewers probably are aware of a handful of these deaths, but when you start looking into it, there's a lot of very prominent people that mysteriously died, and they seem to always die in one of three ways. They're either in an airplane crash, they hang themselves from a doorknob, or they're in a fiery car crash, right? And it's like, it's really, really strange. And so,
or they fall from a high place mysteriously.
Yeah, you're right. Or they fall off a balcony and they commit suicide.
From a hotel room.
From a hotel room balcony, right? And
that's
anyway, it's kind of crazy though, because like if you really think about it, there's some really shady stuff going on. And even for people that may, you know, which I think, again, most of our audience probably isn't like this. People are like, you know, I'm not sure about this whole conspiracy of like pedophiles and the government and media and Hollywood. And if you put all this stuff together, it's like, yeah, that's probably true.
Well, and that's the crazy thing about this, because I mean, Rob and I mean, really, since we started Edge of Wonder, you know, kind of from like the lighter stuff that we did in the beginning and then really getting into the heavier stuff, this has just been a common theme, and it's just gets weirder and weirder, or I don't know if it's like sloppier and sloppier or just like strange, all these things. Like with Ann Hesch, you know, Rob and I kind of went into this last week, but It's just mind blowing because you have her on the stretcher in like almost like a body bag. That seems what it is. There's so many weird things about this. It took the firemen, they said, 30 minutes to get her out. They were the neighbor's house from when she hit. The guy was already, he was outside his door as soon as the crash happened. He called 911. So I don't really understand where this 30 minutes comes into play. And there was so many firemen. You can see it in the Fox video. And then on Fox TV, they're like, oh, they're bringing her out on the stretcher. And then all of a sudden she like gets up and she's got her hair. Like,
Lindsay, can you play the video for us? Can you?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's worth watching again because it's so bizarre that there would be someone who's, you know, allegedly burned to death in a coma or something like that, trying to jump off of a stretcher or reach for their feet or something. Like, it's unclear.
It's like Monty Python. It's like, I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
Yes. I hate to laugh, but yeah, it's so true. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, Seth, one of the things that we were like kind of talking about, because we've gone over this before, one of the things that WikiLeaks exposed a few years ago was how the CIA was able to control remote control cars. And yeah, some of the people that died after what happened in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas shooting, when they were like saying there was two shooters and then these people like mysteriously died, a couple of them died in a car wreck, and they said it looked like their car was lost control and they got in a car wreck.
But you know,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, the most chilling part to me though was, yeah, all of that, right? That's true. But then afterwards, seeing the way the media was reporting on it, you know, it really reminded me how these organizations and these people use the media for comms, where they had reported that Anne Heche had died, but they were still going to publish her human trafficking documentary. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're making an example of her. Yeah, there it is. Can you play that again? Can you replay that? Okay, here it is. They're zooming in from a drone.
And she's
jumped out of the body bag.
It's so bizarre.
She's like naked, it looks like, too.
No. She has her, it's a shirt. It's a
nude color
top.
Shirt. Got
it's
it.
Like a, it's kind of like a light orange color because you can see it when she's driving in her car. But she is going about 100 miles an hour. What they said, it looked like about 100 miles an hour down this road, which is like it's all houses and stuff. So it's kind of crazy. And she does. So what they also said was that she backed into something before she took down off on this road. And then someone kind of yelled at her to stop or something. And she didn't stop and just kept going. And then like this happened soon after that. So
this is like even more like evidence I need that I should buy some sort of old school truck. Cause I've already been looking at like EMP proof trucks. Like if you have a truck from like, you know, pre 1970, mid 70s, that's when they introduced all these electronics into the cars that, you know, if an EMP hits, like most cars on the road are dead. Like they will never work again because they're so based on computers, right? Like I've got a new, Ram 1500 dead. But if you've got like an old school truck, like an old Bronco or an old, you know, Ford, you know, from like the late 60s, it's fine. And my guess is that the CIA can't control one of those things versus like a Tesla. I bet your neighbor could hack in and control your Tesla.
Yep. I mean, that's already happened with I don't know about Teslas directly, but I know with remote controlled cars, that's been the biggest concern. And dude, whoa, maybe that's why they're pushing it so much, wanting everyone to get electric cars.
Of course.
I think their goal is
I mean, well, think about like, what is the Great Reset? It's pushing everyone into this technocracy where they control everything, your digital currency, your bank account. So of course, like they want a car where it's like, oh, you know what? Rob was questioning the narrative on his Edge of Wonder show. So Rob's car's not going to work anymore. It's like,
press the
big red button.
So you guys, seriously. I think the most dangerous part about the electric cars is the fact that China is mostly producing them, and there are chips being put in these cars, and I think they're being used heavily for surveillance of every single thing that's going on in our country all the time.
Mm-hmm. The chips are in every car, though. It's not just cars.
They're not just but we're talking about, like, China is known for anything that it produces, putting in mm-hmm. specific chips related to the surveillance that they do without the corporations that are contracting them to make the materials, knowing that these chips are going in. There's videos of them finding these chips in an iron or a
toaster. Like, even like really basic household products. Like, I remember there's a reporter at Epoch Times, Charlotte Cuthbertson, and she wrote this article a long time ago. It was like, is your iron spying on you? And this is like probably 7 or 8 years ago.
By the way, Charlotte is awesome. If you guys at home, just go onto the Epoch Times and just read through what Charlotte does. She is rad. She's super cool.
Actually, her and I went to the Texas border together in Haldego in Texas.
No way, really?
Yeah. When I was there, when we were doing all the reporting and stuff, that's where I got all my photos when I was there. So that's where I was like, that the Border Patrol actually took me in the helicopter, and that's when we were like flying around in the helicopter looking for illegal aliens. And I'm
glad
like
you did that pre Edge of Wonder, because you might be one of, you might be an Anthony Bourdain right now if it wasn't for that.
That's hilarious. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, anyway, no, that's okay. Just a bit, you're right. You know, China is that's frightening. But back to the kind of the core story at play here. It's like, how easy is it for the CIA or whoever it is to just make someone die, right? It's crazy.
And we have examples like Isaac Cappy, for instance. I talked to Isaac Cappy on the telephone 2 weeks before he died. And
you
the
did?
Dude was, yeah, like he was mm-hmm. trying, like we were going to have him on Edge of Wonder. He was watching our stuff and we were having a conversation and he was like, look, I just want to stop talking about the children stuff because I've been talking about it too much. And he's like, how about we go into some Mandela effects? And
I'm like, he liked that topic a lot.
Yeah, I was like, whatever you want to do. But you know, it was like just 2 weeks later. Well, it was actually like a week later. I started, watching videos of him talking about, they were like really serious videos on what was that? Periscope. And it was really like he had claimed that he had made a deal and it was the wrong thing. Like he kept referring to himself.
Oh yeah, he did.
He kept referring to himself as Judas. Like he was really, really eaten up by it, whatever it was. And then just several days later, he was found on Route 66 and he had fallen from that bridge. And it was like, I mean, really?
Yeah, well, like, one of my friends, she knows him personally, and she was actually texting with him 24 hours before he was found dead. So she was in shock when it all happened, and she was just kind of asking him, like, the last thing, like, she was sending me the text message between the two of them, and she was just, the last thing she was kind of asking him was like, hey, is everything all right? And he was just like, yeah. And he said something to the extent, like, I'm just going to kind of lay low for a little bit or something like that or whatever, and she didn't really think anything of it. And then all this happened. So the whole thing is just super, super weird. But she was just really in shock over this whole entire thing with Cappy. And they haven't even had a funeral for him. They never had a funeral. Yeah.
That's so those of you guys that don't know who Isaac Cappy is, so he accused people like Seth Green and others of being pedophiles. He reached out to Corey Feldman to take on pedophilia together, but Corey blocked him on Twitter. And then Corey had a very, what I would call, staged documentary on the subject.
I don't know. It was good, but it was just focusing on one aspect. That I wouldn't. I don't know if I would say stage, but it was just like
it was very like a controlled piece.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. Yeah,
it was a very controlled piece, though, Ben. Like, I agree with you. Like, it was about one aspect, but it was like just really. It was like,
because it was mostly about his personal experience, and he didn't go anywhere beyond that. It's like, here's what I experienced, and that's it. and with the other Corey.
Yeah, but he knew how much he could and couldn't say. And
I know that's the thing. He could have gone way deeper, and he didn't.
I mean, and also if you really, really dig into the Corey Feldman, Corey Haim thing, I mean, Corey Feldman got really screwed up as a kid. Really screwed up. I mean, and then Corey Haim got really screwed up, and then they were screwed up together for a long time, were unhealthily influencing one another. And then Corey Haim eventually passed away from, you know, drug addiction and all of this stuff. And it's like, it, I mean, you can watch some of the interactions between the both of them that were recorded, and you can tell that it was a very complicated relationship between the two. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really, like, it looks like Haim really blamed Feldman for bringing him into all of this BS, you know, to some extent anyway.
Guys, we're going to exit Facebook now. Is that correct, Lindsay? We're getting off Facebook now under Rumble.
That's
only.
Right.
So we have a trailer for your guys' War on Children. But when we get back, because I've been waiting to ask this question, and I want to ask it when we're on Rumble because Facebook is a lot more heavily censored. But I want to ask the question of, like, what are they trying to really hide? I know we all know kind of the answer, but I really want to dig into that. Like, what is it? What's at the center of this? Like, what are they really trying to expose here? And what are these elites trying to hide?
I think I got your answer for you, Seth.
All right.
Let's roll
the trailer. And for those of you that are watching on Facebook, we highly, highly encourage you to come join us on Rise TV. It's less than $10 a month. A penny less, but still less than $10 a month. And you get amazing content like the War on Children documentary, which we're going to show you on the trailer now.
There's a war on children, and its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes, to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality, and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
All right, let's get into it then, boys. So, Seth, restate the question that you asked.
Question is, and let's just be like really honest and just kind of blunt, you know, no mincing words here. What's really going on? What's at the core of this? What are these people trying to expose? And what are the people trying to hide that are killing off these people? Ben, you had the answer.
Yeah. So go first. You guys, I want to show you. Okay. So we're kind of like, we're going to talk about Alec Baldwin, but we can save that for later because everyone kind of already knows what's going on with that.
I don't think they do actually.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get back to that. I think we can talk about Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell and the musician aspect to this, because what I found. Okay. So the rumor is that they were working on this film called The Silent Children. This film never came out. It was shut down. The site's shut down. I found it on the archive thing. There was a bunch of people working on it. The rumor is that they were working on it, but I couldn't really find anything to directly confirm that. However, I did find that there was a lot of musicians that were supporting this. And what they were doing for this documentary was that they were going around all over the world filming different parts of it. So there's a promo of this. This is the website that's now been shut down. It doesn't exist. And what they're saying is that The Silent Children will be a long-form documentary film with a compelling and original point of view. Drawing upon the unique talents and experiences of its filmmaker, it will take the viewer deep into the world that exposes the truth of child sexploitation and human trafficking. And then they actually get all these musicians that really support all of this. So Lindsay, let's play this promo for The Silent Children. There's a video on YouTube that I found. And what this is that, so they were making this promo. They already went around kind of like filming a bunch of stuff behind the scenes, secretly filming stuff. They were going to present this then and then start a series called The Silent Children, which never got made. And the rumor was that Chris Carnell and
Chester Bennington,
they were going to do some music for this. I couldn't confirm that, but what's shown on here is just mind-blowing. And it's something, you know, as Rob, as much as you and I have been trying to expose the human trafficking aspect of this, this is something that I've never heard before. And I just want to see what you got. And this was going to be in the film, and think about it. This is not being made anymore. So Lindsay, play this part. It's just like a minute or two.
The Turkish mafia basically rented a whole hotel, took these girls to this hotel, impregnated them, and the babies were then taken to have their organs harvested. Can you imagine the depth of depravity that it takes to take a poor child in an orphanage who's already lost their parents or already been abandoned, to then take them to a place of being raped, to then see that same child bear a child and maybe finally feeling like, gosh, I've accomplished something. Here's offspring, you know, of my womb, to only then have that child ripped away to be harvested. And you've got rich people and the Emirates and Turkey and other countries of affluence, and they've got a dying child. They don't care about the child in a poor developing world. All they care about is they want to save the life of their child. They don't care how that heart, how that liver, how that kidney comes. All they care about is their child. And there's men who are willing to facilitate that. It's war.
Whoa.
It's something I've never heard before. You know, it's like, wow. I think that, I mean, like Seth, to answer your question, I think there's multiple things going on. But think about this. So they're literally like have these children being raised almost like cattle specifically for rich. They're like for the rich who have children who have issues. So they're just like using these other babies to provide them with the organs. And then it's like it's pretty crazy. It's like, you know, it's something from that standpoint that I haven't heard. And this is that film that never got made. And they go all over the world. Like this promo is about 12 minutes long, and they go into every aspect.
Is the director still alive?
Yeah, they're all still alive. And they just like, it was right before the death of, so Chris Carnell, I think, died first.
Dude, we need to make it a goal to try to get him on the show.
Who?
The director.
Oh, I thought Chris Carnell. Like,
good. No, man.
Sorry. That would be cool, but
that might be kind of tough.
We could probably do the director.
Well, okay. We're going to hire a medium and talk to Chris Carnell in the afterlife. Yeah.
Right. No. You know, it just made me. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Rob.
No, that's okay. Why don't you go? I was just going to add on to what you were saying. Ben.
No, I was going to say that it made me think is that I have a contact that knows Jim Caviezel, and I should try to get him on, because actually, and Lindsay, maybe you can pull that up. There's a movie called The Sound of Freedom, which I think is just soundoffreedommovie.com. But I think that we've shown this trailer on FNL before, have we? But have you guys seen the trailer for this?
Okay. Yeah. We have talked about it before.
Show that trailer, I want to kind of hear both of, like, let's get through kind of what we think is going on here, because I think the question you asked is really important. So
I do too.
adding on, like, that was a snapshot, like that 2 minute part of that trailer that we watched was a snapshot of one way in which they're utilizing children to make a lot of money, right? Who knows the political connections were actually behind these things that they were digging into and finding, and what it could have unraveled if they did? Because the common theme with all of the deaths, I believe, that have occurred are that if it got exposed to the extent that it brought some of these people down, it wouldn't just bring one person down, it would bring everyone down. Like, think about how much of a contemptible person Hillary Clinton is. And she's even, I think she's even quoted as saying, like, if she got taken down, everyone else would get taken down with her. Mm-hmm. Like, if yeah. one of those dominoes falls, really, like, I don't know how, you know, part of me thinks, well, you know, Epstein was the domino and they just stopped it somehow because they own the media, right? But it's like when people start going specifically after a politician like Hillary Clinton or one of these, or I don't know, one of these other people, they protect themselves, because I think if they were to get exposed, a lot of other things would get exposed, and so they end up hiding the entire thing by hitting these people, basically by putting, like, silencing them permanently, and then the issue is taken care of. So, you know, like, that little sliver of the situation in Turkey, was Turkey, right? Istanbul.
That was Turkey. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just one place, right?
Right. Like, that was just one tiny little thing. Never mind what's going on the borders, what's happening across the entire country, what's happening in other countries, what's happening in China. You know, they're eating baby soup in some areas of China. Like, it's so crazy what's going on. And I think if one of those dominoes falls, they just can't afford it. So they kill people instead, which is just a massive crime, you know?
Well, yeah. And we have, like, so in our traffic series, we do go into John of God, who did have these baby farms. And of course, Epstein was doing this too. Epstein had these baby farms. That was, like, this whole thing about having all this women, having all these babies. And then it's like, you know, who knows what's happening to these children? It's like, some of them are probably being harvested. Some of them are probably used for, like, sexual purposes. Some of them are probably used for, like, slave labor. I mean, it's insane. And you're right, Rob. It just goes through. I mean, this is why everyone's asking, why can't we see the Epstein client list? Dude, Epstein was at the White House 17 times throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, mostly with Clinton. And it's like, 17 times Epstein's at the White House? It's like, what is he doing? Why don't we have answers? Why doesn't the media talk about this? So it's just insane.
Well, I think that, you know, if you dig into it, and I wasn't necessarily planning to watch that trailer because it's like a 2 minute trailer and we've got a lot to cover still, but that is a documentary, which I've heard rumors that it's coming out later this year. That, you know, The Sound of Freedom, which is the one with Jim Caviezel. And I've heard that there's actually some bigger name Hollywood names that are kind of behind it. That I heard from people that I can't really talk about publicly because it's not supposed to be out there. But I think that, you know, fundamentally, I guess, yeah, here you go. If maybe we can watch a minute of this. So this is Jim Caviezel's movie. Lindsay, if you want to hit that.
I don't think I can do this job, Tim. As soon as I lay down, all I see are those kids' faces. How long have you been doing this?
12 years.
How do you do it?
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It has already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it's going to pass the drug trade.
Señor Timoteo, tú rescatas niños, ¿verdad? Quizá puedas ayudarme a encontrar a mi hermana.
Yeah. That looks like an intense movie. And I know people that were at the premiere of it. And from what I would recall hearing, like, it exposes even Disney. Like, it goes into some, like, the child recruiting in Central America. And so anyway, but the point that I was going to make and kind of answer the question that I put out there was that I was in one of my recent interviews with Jeff Nyquist. I think it was back in the Q&A, or maybe it was even in a conversation I had with him offline. He was talking about how at a certain point, in the Soviet Union, within the KGB and everything, they started using pedophilia for blackmail. Mm-hmm. And that it became like it was actually the communists that, you know, obviously we know that there's been, you know, child sacrifice is something that has gone throughout history. It goes back to the Bible and, you know, Moloch and Baal and everything like this. But I think that what's at the center of a lot of this is actually blackmail. And I think that that is one of the biggest thing that drives this industry. And because I remember, you know, when I was interviewing Lee Dundas, who I'm actually working on having come back on again, because she fought human and child trafficking specifically for a very large part of her life. And she's like an amazing woman. And for anybody that's on here, if you want to watch the interview I did with Lee Dundas, it's on Rise TV. I mean, it was an insane interview. It had me in tears talking about the child trafficking stuff she's seen over in like Cambodia and Thailand and everything. But I think that kind of how I'm piecing this together and why it's so protected, it's exactly what you said, Rob, about Hillary Clinton talking about, like, if she falls, everyone falls. It's not just because it's this dirty, bad habit, right? That's not it. It's not even because, like, they love adrenochrome and all this. I think that at the core of it is that the deep, deep, deep cabal control structure, and not just like the cabal, like you think, like the communists, the Soviets, the Russians, the CCP.
The green lizards.
Everything. Yes. It's like that at the heart of their control structure is blackmail based on pedophilia. And, you know, once you get to the highest levels of this, it's part of that system. And it's like, because what happens is that there's two things that happen. If this information gets way too public, then one, all of these, yeah, there you go. Thank you for bringing that up, Lindsay. That's an incredible interview. So there's two things that happen. One is a lot of bad people get put away, right? That's one. But the other thing is they lose their control. They lose the blackmail they have on the politicians around the world pushing the Great Reset, all the politicians around the world, all the actors, like their entire control structure, especially at the high levels, is based on this. They can't afford to lose that. Like, you know, because it's like, yeah, they can bribe somebody, you know, say so they say they bought off a politician. Okay, you know, politicians, they might come out and say, look, you know, I'm sorry, you know, folks, I accepted a briefcase of cash. Yeah. They can come out and say that and still live with themselves. What happens when a politician says, you know what, guys, like, you know, to my country, I'm sorry that I didn't push back against these COVID restrictions, but I was compromised because I was caught. I was filmed raping a small boy. Like, they can't do that. It's the ultimate control structure. And that's why this is the forbidden topic. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
It completely is. So you guys, I was talking about Epstein, and this is related to what we're talking about. Lindsay, can you pull up this article? So this guy, his name is Mark Middleton. He was, Bill Clinton's personal, I forget, like advisor, something like that. Anyway, yeah, he was a personal advisor. He just died recently, and he was the one that let Epstein in while Clinton was president 7 times out of the 17. And he just recently died, and he seemed pretty healthy, and it could be foul play. So anyway, there's Epstein. I mean,
it could be foul
Clinton.
Play. Read how the guy died.
Yeah.
Like, could be.
Oh, he was,
the guy was hanging from a tree with a shotgun blast at his chest. Like, that smells like foul play to me.
Wait, is that true?
Man.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I didn't even. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, where is that?
Wait, let me find it in the document.
Well, there, dude, I can't believe that there's Epstein meeting Bill Clinton.
Yeah, at the White House
right there.
Right. He was dead hanging from a tree, with a shotgun blast. Like, someone shot him in the chest and hung him. Yeah. Like,
there you go. And then they say he died of suicide.
How is that? How do you suicide yourself with a shot? That doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, you could like set it up, the gun really far away, and you have a string.
He committed suicide because he did something that the Clintons didn't like. Is that now considered suicide?
I'm sorry for laughing. It's just so ridiculous. Like, this guy's hanging from a tree with like a predator looking blast in his
hole
chest,
in his chest.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, he died of suicide? Like, come on. Like, who's doing this?
Yeah.
Like, Clinton hired coroner or something? Like
someone's saying he drank poison as well. I'm not sure. Dosnello. I'm not sure.
Drank poison and hung himself.
Sorry to laugh. We're not laughing at this. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. But it's like the insanity of it.
I
bet like the local coroner has just ruled it a suicide. Like, nope, sorry. We can't investigate that any further.
That dude, I can't believe I missed that. I was like so focused on the whole Epstein stuff that I was like, you know, and this guy dying, but I didn't realize that that's how he died, dude.
It's like we found this guy with two gunshot wounds in the back of his head. Must have been a suicide, right? It's the same thing.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. When you really look into a lot of these like suicides, you see, oh wait, he has a bullet hole in the back of his head. Or there's like two bullet holes, like one in his head, one of his chest, you know, and that also happens. And it's like,
I mean, yeah, they could find a guy like beheaded and like chopped into pieces and burnt in like a trash barrel. And then like some Clinton AG comes in and says it was a suicide. And like, okay, it's a suicide. All right.
But I think this is why people think that everyone is a part of the cabal, because when you have, like, look at what happened with Anne Heche. You know, she gets into a car accident. A bunch of firemen show up at the scene. They wait a half hour. A bunch of firemen show up at the scene. Probably some of the local firemen may have seen firemen from a different place. They don't know who they are. These firemen come in, stuff Anne Heche into an ambulance she's never seen or heard of from again. Who isn't owned by them? That's what people ask. It's like all police officers. Think about the cover-ups. Like, how do you cover this stuff up unless there's dirty police, unless like there's dirty FBI agents, of which there are probably many, you know? How do you cover that up?
Anne Heche, wasn't she also one of Ellen's exes?
Yeah, she was.
We talked about this on the show.
Yeah, and
did you guys show the Ellen set and the Epstein thing? Yeah. Have you seen that picture before?
We've shown that.
We didn't show that, but we have showed it before.
Yeah.
Ellen was super controlling, she said, of her life, which is why she left her. And the other Rob, there was something I got sidetracked with this, but there's something you were saying that I was like, I wanted to make sure that...
Oh, were you talking about how all of them are dirty? Like all of the firemen and police officers, like that's why everyone thinks they're a part of the cabal.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big part of it, because like you said, you know, people show up on the scene and you don't know who's who. And then it's like very easy. They just take her away. And then it's like, I know, because what happened was everyone was reporting that she was in stable condition, that she was fine. Even the family was like, she's okay. Like, you know, there was all these articles that came out saying she's stable condition. Then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, we had it wrong. She's now in critical condition. And it's like, you got the idea that it was from her burns. But then when you're watching the video and she sits up, the only place that she has burns is really her legs and her arms. Now, granted, there could have been something, you know, I'm trying to look at this from all angles. There could have been something internally at the crash that was like internal bleeding or something, but that doesn't make any sense why she would be in the body bag if she was fully awake. So this is all super, super weird. And then all of a sudden they're like, so it's like, if she was in the ambulance, did something happen in the ambulance? Did they give her something in the ambulance? You know, I don't know. It's just all weird.
Have you guys just kind of on the, have you guys ever interviewed Kathy O'Brien?
No, I always wanted to though.
You should. Like, I've even thought about reaching out to her to interview her, but I mean, she'd be a great person. Like, she has like a Rumble channel. She's active. Yeah. She's in front of the camera. She would be a great person for you guys to interview.
Actually, I think I was talking to her on Twitter before when we had our YouTube channel, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, a lot of people have suggested that actually, and we do have access to get a hold of her. So
maybe even Fritz Brigmeier, he might be another good person for you guys to interview.
Yeah. I didn't actually, for some reason, I didn't think he was still alive. So when Red Pill 78 interviewed him, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know he was alive. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, he's just been kind of really like hiding out, it seems. After that really bizarre interview he did with the Rothschilds, I think he was just laying low for a really long time. I think it got too much for him. I mean, after everything he's been through.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So you guys, we should touch on the Alec Baldwin stuff, because there's a bunch of things that came out that were more recent and updates. Yeah.
Speaking of deaths that don't make any sense, the bizarre case of Alec Baldwin accidentally shooting, who was it? The key grip, or was like something like that?
No, she was the camera operator.
She was the camera operator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the gun that was not supposed to have any bullets in it.
Yeah. So how'd that happen? He said that he never fired the weapon. So, but now it came out that it was fired, that it was impossible for it to go off without someone actually pulling the trigger. So that's what just came out in the media just a couple days ago. And on top of that, it was real bullets. And so they were blaming the prop master, and the prop master said under oath in court that he said, this is not for, we did not have any live ammunition there on the set. He's like, I was in charge of the gun and there was no bullets in the gun. So no one really knows how that happened. And then on top of that, it was like he was alone with her in the room. So nobody else really saw what was going on or saw what happened. And then, Rob, you said you found some stuff where he was like talking about Trump supporters or something. That he was like saying there, he was worried that they were going to come after him.
Oh, I found that. Yeah,
you found
that. It was a tweet. Let's see. Let's go and pull this up. There's a TMZ article about this. But so I guess the tweet that's talking about this article, so here's a TMZ. Alec Baldwin said, I was afraid Trump supporters would kill me after Rust shooting. So
Rust. Yeah, they use any opportunity to attack Trump supporters.
Oh, of course. So Alec Baldwin, he said that Donald Trump incited his January 6th mob to murder him by falsely claiming the actor intentionally fired the shot that killed the cinematographer. So, Lindsay, you will play that CNN video for, it's only a 1 minute video. But I know we all love CNN.
Yeah. And Alec Baldwin. Double doozer.
He was great in Red
Former
October.
President of the United States said he probably shot her on purpose. To me, was really the only time I thought that I was worried about what was going to happen. Because here was Trump, who instructed people to commit acts of violence, and he was pointing the finger at me and saying, I was responsible for the death.
I can't even like 1,000%
I'm nervous that a bunch of people who were instructed by the former president to go to the Capitol, and they killed a law enforcement officer. They killed somebody. And you don't think that I think to myself, are some of those people going to come and kill me?
While waiting for the results of the Santa
Wait a minute.
County
oh,
Sheriff's
gosh.
Office.
There was no officer that was killed. It was a woman that was killed by the police.
Yeah, by the officer.
Yeah, by the a white woman with military background that was killed.
I never really like thought of Alec Baldwin as a pussy. But after that, like, you know, he just what a pansy. Like, seriously, yeah. Like everything about that like that conversation he was having with the CNN reporter was just like total just like a complainy, whiny, like that was not a man we were watching. I don't know what that was. It was really bizarre.
Well, honestly, my personal opinion is I think that he kept saying that he never pulled the trigger. Now the FBI investigation came out saying the trigger was pulled. So I feel like this is kind of a distraction from what is coming
out. To get how people bring, like, yeah. How do you bring President Trump into a conversation
January
about
6th.
You? Yeah, about you shooting someone. You know, like, you dumbass. Like, oh, I'll just deflect the entire thing. You know, I mean,
that's what I feel like is going on here. Yeah, because and actually, the sheriff department never investigated where the ammunition came from, and that's the big question that everybody is asking. And Fox News actually had a really great article because they were asking these tough questions. They said the primary question in the case from the beginning has been, where did the live rounds that ended up upon the rust set come from? Nobody has an answer to that. So, and then they blame that's what I was saying. They blame the prop master, and the prop master said, no, we would never have live ammunition on the set. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
That's like rule number one of the prop master. Yeah. No live ammunition on set at all, ever. Double check, triple check, quadruple checked.
Yeah.
You guys, so I have something that I found that I want to bring up here because it's somewhat relevant after we watch that Alec Baldwin dumpster fire of an interview. So there is a document that is sort of like I believe it's from the CIA, and it's general interference with organizations and production. And I want you to look at this, at these highlighted words here. So, like, these are how you disrupt an organization as like a spy or asset. Okay. So, like, number two, make speeches, talk as frequently as possible and at great length. Right. And then number four, bring up irrelevant issues as frequently as possible. Alec Baldwin. Five, haggle over precise wordings, which those people do all the time. Like, it looks like we're describing someone on the left here, like, or people complaining about, like, Trump's tweets and all of this stuff.
Can you explain what that, like, so what does that actually mean?
Haggle Rob? Over precise wordings?
Yeah, like what kind,
like,
of,
okay,
wording?
You know how, like, everybody, like, Trump will say something and they'll dig into one word and make a gigantic deal out of it? Like,
yeah.
No, you need to say it this way. Otherwise, you know, like, we're going to offend someone or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then, like, number seven, advocate caution, be reasonable, and urge your fellow conferences to be reasonable and avoid hassle, and, like, blah blah blah. It's like, how do you waste time? And then, be worried about the propriety of any decision. Is this really a proper decision? All of this is so interesting because all of these things were utilized so massively during the Trump, like, 4 years of his presidency, where every single thing he did, it was like, think about how many of those people are potential assets after looking at this document. General this interference with organizations and production.
This is why
guidelines
Obama,
for it.
Yeah, this is why Obama is such a great speaker. He followed this to directly.
It's right there. Like, they've been doing this stuff exactly. Like, they exactly know what they're doing. They're being very precise about what they're doing.
Wow. Where'd you find this, Rob? This is crazy.
I have some friends who will dig into the CIA sites and stuff and then send me things from time to time. And I got this today and I was like, I got to show this to you guys because I knew there would be something relevant in there. You know, I'm going to dig more into it.
That's cool.
So there's a handful of other deaths, you know, one of them being Jackie Walorski, who... Well,
okay, but Seth, did you find that the camera woman that Alec Baldwin was shot, was she doing something related to human trafficking or something?
That's what everyone is saying. Honestly, I couldn't really find any direct link
evidence
to
of
it.
That.
Like, yeah, I mean, everyone is kind of talking about that, and like, this is why it's hard. You know, it's possible she was just talking to certain people about potential future projects, you know, and that
exactly because supposedly her, like, one of her next projects was a documentary about Hollywood pedophilia rings. So, but again, like
how do you find evidence on that?
Well, the thing is, you may never find evidence because it could literally have been that maybe she, well, so her husband, you know, her husband was a lawyer at the law firm that represented the Clintons. You know that?
Oh, that's right. Shit, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I forgot about that too, so, man.
Okay. About show, like in ancient times, but
like
I forgot.
So maybe, like hypothetically, maybe her husband at the law firm discovered some information about the Clintons that was alarming and told his wife about it. Like she could have just been having a conversation in their living room where she said, you know, maybe I should actually do a documentary on this and expose this. Yeah. That could have been the only conversation she ever had about it. You know, these people are listening. You know that there's not a person that's a lawyer.
They're listening from a toaster, apparently.
Well, exactly. Like my iPhone right now is listening to me. You know, I got like Xi Jinping on the other end of me. Like, okay, what type of man America? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's how it works. It's like the amount of surveillance that's on us is insane. I probably have six devices right in my room right now listening to me.
Yeah. In your case, it probably really is Xi Jinping, like listening to you. Sure.
I think I've heard rumors he watches Man in America. He's jealous of my beard because a lot of times the Asians can't grow more manly beards. Maybe. So,
yeah,
you know,
I would hate to watch Man in America with that guy. His head would block the screen. I've never seen a head that big. I mean, the only guy I've seen like him and Epstein battle of the heads right there. I don't know who'd win. His head is massive. Like whoever's photoshopping him, good job. You made a dude with the biggest head on the planet.
Yeah.
Wow. It's massive. Like, gosh, like it's like the size of a whole pillow. Like, what does he do? What does he sleep on? A bed? Is a mattress his pillow? It's huge.
That's true. That's a good observation, Rob. I've also got a pretty big head, so I'm staying quiet.
So, all right, you know, Lindsay's making a point, to be fair, you know, that's a pretty big law firm, the one that the Clintons are involved in. So, you know,
I'm just speculating
that we're reaching.
Yeah.
Possible that we're reaching, but still strange connection, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it is. Yeah. And actually later, like, well, I don't know if we're going to have time to get into this, but later I found a whole website called Arkanside or Clintonside. And, there's like 60 names and it lists how all these different people are connected to the Clintons and what happened to them. Most of them died by some accident and it's crazy, but we can get into that a little bit later. Cause you guys wanted to talk about who was it again? Seth, you brought up.
Jackie Walorski. Like her Bourdain, you know, just like a little bit of the information, like Anthony Bourdain tweeting about the Clintons, right? Like, that's crazy, right? So he died mysteriously. He was supposedly working on some of his other documentaries about trafficking, right? And so he tweeted, quote, "I'm in no way a HRC fan. I've been on the receiving end of her operative's wrath, and it ain't fun."
It's a real tweet. Yeah, that's a real tweet.
Exactly.
And there are some tweets that like the one that's like, oh, I have information on the Clintons or that could get her in jail or something. And people were contributing it to him, but he actually didn't tweet that one out. And I think
I remember he found that. Yeah.
That's like a meme. Like whenever someone dies, everyone throws out like it makes a, like, I have information about the Clintons.
I think I want to say Julian Assange was the first one to actually have that, but I could be wrong about that. But this is true, though. This is a real tweet. Here.
Yeah, you know what, Hillary Clinton is not, she's not stupid or unsophisticated about the world. The Weinstein stories had been out there for years, so she let them go.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we've got Walorski, and again, like Ben, and actually, you know, Lindsay found this where she was looking at Walorski. And there was, she found it like a backdoor Google search, but they removed the page. So a little background. So Walorski, she was was she a senator? I forget what position she held. And I think she died in a car accident, like within the last month. Lindsay, you want to chime in? Cause you usually
she's a representative from Indiana.
There you go. Okay. Thank you, Lindsay. You know, she mysteriously died. But then, so Lindsay, explain to us, like, walk us through what happened with this Google page that went missing, because that was a crazy discovery you made.
I was just trying to find whether her name and human trafficking turned anything up on Google. And one search did turn up. I'll show this. It said from 2016 there was an article that exists that says Walorski supports legislation to combat human trafficking. And I can read the first sentence. But when I click that, the page no longer exists on her site. And then when I use the tools function of Google to restrict it to 2016, nothing comes up again. So I'll show you that. Hang on.
That's really interesting. You know, that's what I'm finding a lot of these cases with related to human trafficking. The links are either broken or they're not working anymore. And I have to use the Wayback Machine to really find a lot of them. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. So,
wow. This is the only thing that showed up via that link. It just goes right to her House of Representatives page.
Dang.
It says nothing about human trafficking at all.
So they almost took it down like after her death.
I also couldn't find it anywhere else on Google. It could be that I just couldn't find it with my cursory search, but I didn't find anything about that.
Interesting. Did you try the Wayback Machine to see if it's on her site, like from 2016?
Actually, you don't have to I do did it right not. Now. Yeah, let me. But I bet. I bet if it, I can do it.
I bet it would be there, and it probably would mention it. So that's pretty crazy.
Oh, you know what? Actually, when it takes me to the actual page, that URL is different, so I can't go search for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy stuff. So
yeah, same. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, folks, that we're soon going to be heading into the dig deep section. So just a reminder, and this is only going to be on Rise TV. So just a reminder to those on Rise, please ask your dig deep questions because we're entering in that. And if you want to join us on Rumble and be part of that, then come over on Rise TV. You're going to love it. But anyway, what were you saying, Ben?
I was going to mention the Kate Spade as well. You know, that
was very strange.
And the whole super rat strange. Mask thing.
Yeah, crazy. Man.
So Ben, tell us about that.
Well, yeah. So this was a couple years ago. And so her husband wears this Bernard mask, like right after.
Was
like,
this before? Is right after she died?
Right after she died. And the mask itself is from the movie The Rescuers. And the movie The Rescuers was one of the ones that had a real photo in the when they're going down the thing. It was in our video of like a naked woman as they're going down, you know, and like
that was one of the Disney shows where they put pornography in it.
And the movie is about the whole thing is about these orphan kids who are kidnapped and being held in the Devil's Bayou and crazy. Going to be used for slave labor. So that's like
what's the movie called?
The Rescuers.
Rescuers Down
it's
Under.
It's just a cartoon.
Yeah.
No, that's the second one. Rescuers Down Under is part two. Rescuer, just the Rescuers part one. And it came out, I think, in the late 70s.
77.
Yeah, 77.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to like it when I was a little kid, like in the 80s. I used to watch that. But it was just super weird. And again, there was all this stuff that was coming out that with Anthony Bourdain, especially, there was something related to the Clintons here. And I can't remember what the connection it was. Kate Spade had a tweet or something like that.
The symbolism behind the mask, the rat mask, was that he was a rat, right?
Or she was a rat, possibly. And that she, because there was a tweet that she had, and I can't remember exactly what the tweet was. But it looked like there was some things that she knew what was going on. And then after her death, he wears that. Now, the media was spinning it as like, oh, he's wearing this mask because he didn't want the media to bother him or photograph him. That's why he was wearing the mask. But it's like, I don't know. There's always deeper things going on here. So was he really wearing the mask saying like, hey, anybody else that wants to rat? You know, granted, they are like mice, but I guess kind of the same thing, but it's like weird that he's choosing that. I mean, why that mask? Like, where did he even get this mask? It's so specific. That's so weird.
Very specific. Where the heck did it come from?
So Kate's sister also had an obsession with suicide. Or she said that Kate had an obsession with suicide following the death of Robin Williams. But, you know, all this stuff is super weird. You know, some of these might be suicides. Some of them might be not suicides. And, you know, I think anything in this case deserves to be kind of looked at And we already know the media is going to rule everything as a suicide. But and then, like, I found this crazy, crazy list of this Arkansas side, Clinton side thing. And Lindsay, if you could just open this website real quick, just to, just to show you guys can see the list of names of everyone who's died that had some connection to the Clintons. And I think two of the biggest things that I came across on this list, there was a total of 8 names in 2 different years. Well, they're actually all in 93. The first set of 4 was February of 1993. There was 4 bodyguards of Clinton's, and they all died during Waco. Then, just a few months later, there was 4 more bodyguards of the Clintons, and they all died in a helicopter crash. So most likely, these guys that died in Waco knew something was going on. They were killed. These guys in the helicopter realized that these guys were killed and during Waco and knew something was going on and probably was going to reveal something. And then those guys died in a helicopter crash all in the same year, just in a few months. Pretty crazy stuff.
Look, keep scrolling down. No, you pulled it down too quick. Can you?
There's some other stuff I have. I mean,
can you scroll through the whole list, like from the top?
Yeah, it just goes on.
Go all the way to the top, Lindsay. Go all the way to the top. And then, okay, now scroll down. So,
yeah, it starts in 1977 with a woman that came out saying she had some kind of affair with Clinton or something like that. And she died of a gunshot wound. And that's the start of it.
Oh, lots of these are in 1992.
Well, this is just the 90s. It's like you got to scroll through the whole thing because it's like starts at night. Like, goes from 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. 90s. 90s is a lot, you know, and that's when Whitewater happened in the early 90s with Clinton and the real estate. And then it just kind of gets forgotten about because we had the Oklahoma City bombing, which supposedly whatever was in the Oklahoma building, there was reference to what was going on with Whitewater with the Clintons.
Wow, there's crazy. This is like, look at this. This is itself is incriminating. I mean, anyone who doesn't think something really strange is going on after looking at this list.
Yeah, there's a lot of car accidents too in this.
That's Rich guy right from, there.
Yeah, the guy from Breitbart, he died as well. And every single one of these people on this list have some connection to Clinton. I'm not trying to say that every single person on this list, you know, like there could be genuine accidents here, you know, but it's just like seeing
mathematically speaking. Yeah. How many of those really could be accidents, you know? Yeah,
that's what's really weird about this. And then And then we have that most recent run that where the guy was hung, you know, and that's not even on that list because it just happened. So in May. So, and they raid Trump.
It's insane.
This is the thing, you know, and this is, we always come back to this because it's like, when you really start seeing how screwed up the world really is, you're just like, why are we even still here? Like, how could a divine being have that much compassion over human beings to allow this to keep going on? Right. Really think about it. It's like, we shouldn't be here. I don't think like every day is such a blessing from that perspective. And at the same time, it's like, whoa, you know, like, Do we really want things to keep going on the way that they are? Is there any way to salvage America, salvage any country in the world, any country?
Humanity?
Like something really serious needs to happen to people in order to fix this, you know? Big, something big. Like, you know, it's like, look, there's a lot of people changing right now and opening up and awakening, but they have a long way to go. I mean, there's a lot of dirty people out there. I mean, think about it. Maybe the 1% are really controlling everything through blackmail and all of that stuff, but there's still a lot of people out there doing dirty. A lot.
Oh, I mean, even when I interviewed Lee Dundas and she was describing in this segment of the interview, she was describing that she was involved in these human trafficking busts and with, you know, sex trafficking for children. And it's crazy because she was saying that the average customer that were people that were paying for children were like wealthy suburban, like white males. It wasn't like these sleazy, like, you know, people living in some trailer with, you know, like missing teeth. I'm not talking about myself here. And all that, like it was crazy. And what she said though, and this is really, really crazy. So she described this one particular operation where it was a sting operation or some sort of operation to catch people. And what they did is that they used a service. It was almost like a Craigslist or, you know, Backpage or whatever it is to allow people to kind of look for prostitutes where prostitution was illegal, right? These websites exist. And so what they did though, is that they of all the people that were searching. So what they did is that they had all these people that would call this phone number and they'd say, hey, you know, my wife's out of town. You know, I want to order a woman. And so she said that they had three tiers that they went through this process. So she said that they would first tell someone that, okay, look, we don't have any women available, but we have some girls that are under 18. Is that okay? And then whether the guys would say yes or no, then it would go to the next step. And then they would say, so yeah, we only have actually younger women, but you realize that they're minor, right? Is that okay? And then the guys would say yes or no. And then the last step was they would say, look, like you realize that we're going to be bringing a child to your home, right? Which is illegal, right? Is this still okay? And then the guys would say yes or no, right? So I'm just curious. So of all the people that actually called looking for a prostitute, what would you guys guess the percentage was that actually said yes three times in a row and still, and I'm not, these aren't people that were looking for children. These are just average men in a wealthier area that were calling up to get a prostitute. What percent do you think actually said yes three times and ended up getting busted?
Of the 100% that called in.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say 1,000 men called in for a prostitute and they gave them three chances to say no as they warned them. What percent of those 1,000 of just regular average men, what percent of those 1,000
I don't even want to guess.
The figure that popped into my head was a hopeful figure. And trust me when I say I understand that that's not, nothing is hopeful in this, but 3% is what came to mind. But I have a feeling we're looking at like,
I was actually
30% or 40% or something.
I was thinking like 25,
50.
Damn.
50% of the people.
So messed up, man.
And that's the thing. It's crazy, you know, because Rob, yeah, you made a really good point, right? Like, we know that at the high levels of society, there's very bad corruption. But if you look at just your average neighbor next door, and I remember actually my wife was watching some information, a documentary on human trafficking at one point, and I forget what the guy was saying, but it was almost like, I forget the exact figure, and I'm not giving you a fact here, but it was something like if you went down like and just drove through suburbia, that it was something almost like 1 in 10 homes is involved in some form of child abuse or you know, child sex trafficking. Like it was something that was like, if you actually knew how prevalent it was, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And that's, I agree crazy with you, Rob. Like there's, God has a plan for this world. The fact that we're still here and we haven't been like Sodom and Gomorrah and like fire and brimstone a long time ago is beyond me. There's something else bigger at play here that's giving us a chance. On.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That's crazy, Seth. Holy cow.
Yeah. I should bring her back on again. Actually, I reached out to her assistant actually this past week. Cause I want to bring her on and I during this interview, our show, I shot a text off to my contact that has a contact with Jim that knows Jim Caviezel.
Oh, really?
So I can bring him on. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that'd be awesome to have.
That's great.
Come on.
Yeah.
So.
And then there's Avicii.
Avicii. Yeah.
Dude, so, Avicii, man. Dude, this, this music video is just like, I mean, my gosh, I've never seen anything like this before.
This is a, so I haven't seen this before. What is this?
Oh my gosh, you haven't seen this? Seth, you, I mean, this, we can't play is, the whole thing because it's so long. This is
the
the
video Avicii did that probably got him whacked.
Yeah, dude, this is all about these like these elite people that starts out, right? They bring in this truck. And you can then all of a sudden they're bringing out these kids out of the truck, and then that's who they're picking out who they want. And then the whole music video is about I mean, it's just like these elite people. They don't really tell you exactly who they are. You kind of get the idea that there's like some kind of government related stuff, right? And then there's these two children that escape, and then they grow up. And then the whole music video is them seeking revenge on these people that did this to them.
Wow.
and it's pretty like kind of rewarding in a lot of ways, even though it is kind of graphic on some of the ways that they like, you know, do some of these bad things to these guys. But we're just like, dude, these guys deserve it, man. But oh my God, the music video is so that's them now older. And they're going after the people that did this to them as kids.
Man.
So, and that dude, the dude you saw at the beginning. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Oh, it's very graphic.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's pretty graphic. It's kind of hard to watch.
But what's crazy with this, guys, is that like, this is one of those topics that when you really understand it, like, you know, I've got a daughter who's 2 years old, and or she will be in about a month or two. And like, when you really understand this, and if you still have humanity, if you still have a conscience, if you still have a soul that comes through, this is life-changing stuff. Like realizing what's happening with children in this world, like these innocent little children. Like when I like lay my daughter down to bed and I look at her and she's this like beautiful little creation of God. And when you think about what people on this earth do to children, and then if you imagine that you are a police officer or a, you know, SWAT team, or, you know, like Lee Dundas, someone who's going over into like the darkest dens in like Cambodia and Thailand into child brothels. Like if it's like this kind of stuff, it changes you. When you experience or you see this stuff, something deep inside of you changes. Like you now understand the depth of evil that man is potential of. And when you realize the evil that man is capable of doing, it changes you. Because I think for a lot of people, they can't look at this because they don't want to imagine that mankind can be so evil. That's what traps them. That's what makes them susceptible. That's what makes them easy to brainwash and to lure. They don't want to look at it. You know what I mean?
It's delusion.
Actually, it is. It's a cognitive dissonance. Actually, I think a lot of conservatives in America,
not just conservatives.
People in general, but I think a lot of the conservatives, they don't want to believe that, like that, like it's the world is actually that evil.
But the Democrats, this is what they suffer from so much, is that they're like, they can't believe a world where the leaders are as corrupt as people are telling them that they are. They think it's not possible for humans to be that deviated. And then they stick into that, like, oh, they're intelligent. Look at their background. Look at their credentials and all of this stuff. Like, that means anything? Like, evil is evil. If they're doing evil, they're evil. It doesn't matter where they went to school. It doesn't matter who they're hanging out with. It doesn't matter how much money they have. And it's very hard to get by for them. And I would say most of the delusion on the left that I've seen comes from that. They're very fooled by these surface things. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Seth. You were saying,
it was crazy. Stuff. So Sassy 4810, actually, so Sassy, I'm drinking in O'Doul's. You asked about an hour ago when I was drinking. So Sassy said, I actually ended up buying security cameras because I decided to check the sex offender site and found out I have six pedophiles on my street. One lives across from me.
Dude, I didn't even, I think because I have kids, I don't have kids. I mean, I don't think about checking something like that. You know, like I just moved this area in Florida and it's like, I wouldn't even think about something like that.
I guess that you can do actually like.
You can do that.
Actually, I just did a quick Google. You can do a search for sex offender search. And
well, I mean, that's what you have to do. Once you become a sex offender, you have to register. That's why you register.
Yeah.
Because then you're letting everyone know in the community, like, you know, and that's what's happening with some of these people. It's like, they're like, oh, well, we'll take you off the sex offender list. You know, that's what's happening with some people. And then that's like, it's, you know, getting kind of nuts, but man, that's smart. That really is. Wow.
Crazy.
Well, you guys, we kind of need to get into dig deep, although we don't have that many questions with that.
I think we dug deep in this episode.
But we did definitely dug deep, that's for sure. And we've kind of, you know, and the questions that are there are still kind of going on the similar topics of what we're talking about right now. So, all right, but let's see, we're going to at 9 o'clock. Actually, we are dropping Rob and I for Edge of Wonder. We have our Big Oil Industrial Complex Part 3 and 4 that's coming out on Rise. And if you're part of our Rise community, we're all gonna have a
watch party.
A watch party. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you,
yes,
Rob.
You're welcome.
So yes, all right.
So for those of you guys at home, if you watched our show yesterday, I'm not sure if you did, but we were showing how connected Dick Cheney was to David Rockefeller. And it is the Rockefellers that owned America, really. They owned all of the oil and the entire industry and moved industries forward in America to become the gigantic, massive corporation that America is. And so oil was controlling all of that. And the Big Oil Industrial Complex really gets deep on how all of this stuff happened. And you guys will love those shows. So if you are on Rumble and you're watching us now, I highly recommend that you you check out our Big Oil Industrial Complex series on Rise.tv. It's only $9.99 a month. And it's mind-blowing what we found. You guys will love it.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, we don't have a watch party. I thought there was one, but I forgot we're still live. So it's just
it's launching in like
up.
7 minutes.
Yeah, it's long. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, we can't be having a watch party, but it's just
but regardless
premiere.
Of the watch party,
yeah,
go check it out.
All right. Okay, so dig deep now, is that right?
Yeah. Trailer, I guess. Go for it, Lindsay.
Well, whatever we need.
Hey everybody, it seems as if Big Oil is running our world. As we've seen from our previous episodes on the Big Oil Industrial Complex, every aspect of society, including our food, has some level of petroleum production and, of course, plastic.
With gas prices higher now than they've ever been in history, with inflation through the roof, with the crash of the stock market and cryptocurrencies, along with food production taking a massive hit, it almost seems like this has all been arranged for a while.
And would you believe us if we told you that there's proof that gas prices have been manipulated since the birth of Standard Oil? And if that's true, then it's possible that this entire industry is still being manipulated today.
Well, join us here on Edge of Wonder as we blow the truth about this black gold out of the well and reveal how they've been gaslighting us ever since John D. Rockefeller's
don't say that word.
Reputation started being threatened.
Also, we'll go over some things you probably didn't know, like how the first electric car was actually built in 1884. It's heartwarming. So what happened? And why didn't it catch on? Was something orchestrated to make sure cars switched to oil instead?
Well, it's hard to talk about oil without mentioning the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, since they both built their empires upon oil and banking. So before we get into the real reason why we think gas prices are so high, let's go back to the start of it all when a man named William Avery Livingston, also known as William Avery Rockefeller, was swindling local town folk for his so-called snake oil cure.
Also, we just want to say that Ben and I are not suicidal. So if we die after this publishes, it wasn't because we were suicidal.
What'd you think about